Hello.
Hi, Stassi.
Willkommen. Wie geht's?
Yeah.
Hallie's having a shitty, shitty, shitty week.
I think we're all having a shitty week.
I feel like yours is sprinkled with extra shittiness, though.
It is. Not as bad as Hillary's, but...
That's our girl.
So, yeah, if you're listening to this, it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. The beginning of the end.
We are bummed and scared for the future. Yep. And I also had my credit card stolen.
Hallie's just going through a lot right now.
I am. You can't see this, but I wrote all my notes for today in a weird code you can learn in third grade from like a ciphers book.
Caesar code.
Caesar shift code.
Sure. Well, whatever.
It's fun. Look it up. You'll enjoy it if you have a little bit of, you know, Alan Turing in you.
Fucking insane is basically the point.
Oh, just because you start writing stuff in secret codes and drawing yarn from page to page, you're insane. See, in honor of our new dictator, or as Dan McCoy on the Flophouse said, our president sex criminal.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We thought we would talk about another cult of personality.
Yes.
That affected millions.
And still is.
And affects it today as we speak. We're talking about North Korea.
Yay!
Some might say, that's not a cult, that's a country. And to those people I say, wrong, sir.
We say, shh, let us talk. How did it start? Where did we come from? Where are we going?
Well, yeah, this is going to be one of our two-part episodes just because, understandably, North Korea is probably the biggest cult in the world.
Mm.
And
how would you say that we're defining cult this episode?
That's interesting because in my notes I wrote...
That are gibberish.
My notes are not gibberish. Okay? They're not.
It literally is just scribbles.
It's not scribbles. It's different. It's letters that represent different letters.
Dude, you know that we already have one called the alphabet?
This is the alphabet. It's just using different... I don't have to take this. I am on the edge. I have an apple. I'm just going to do my Alan Turing thing here too soon. Not funny to joke about with this whole Mike Pence thing that's going on. I apologize.
I missed it.
He's all into gay conversion therapy, and that's what killed Alan Turing. And Turing was a code breaker. But,
I got you.
I was letting the viewers, the listeners know.
Everyone who just watches their computer screen while we talk at them?
I mean, someone has to. In my notes, I wrote, is it a cult if people don't know they're in a cult? But if we're going
to... Do you think that the North Korean people don't know they're in a cult?
That's very interesting. It's something I would like to discuss.
That is a big question, I think.
Definitely in our second episode of this miniseries here.
All right, I'll hold on to my britches.
Of this two-parter series. I do think that it meets all the parameters of what we know as a cult, in which you are not allowed to leave.
Right.
Your whole identity and life is devoted to the leader and to the cause.
Mm.
And that nothing happens without their
say-so.
Now, the North Korea that we know obviously used to be part of one whole Korea. In 1950, the Korean War happened, 1950 to 1953.
I think I had a family member who served in that.
You probably did. A lot of people who served in World War II also served in the Korean War because it was less than 10 years later.
I think it was my grandma's brother.
That makes sense. My great-grandfather served as a medic in Korea.
Interesting.
And my great-grandmother was a nurse.
Solid.
So yeah.
That's so cute.
Shout out to the Georges.
To the Jorges.
To the Jorges, as we were known in our native Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the communists of China and the Soviet Union went in from the north to fight against the Japanese and Americans who were fighting from the south. The war is technically still going on. It never actually ended, but in 1953, there was a armistice signed. So now they're just kind of like me and my sister, in which they just eye each other from across the parallel, which cuts the Korean Peninsula in half. South Korea is
a... Did you say it's like you and your sister?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
South Korea is a capitalist country. It's been very westernized. It's pretty much just a normal country. It has a very large GDP because they produce the Hyundai cars and Samsung phones and just... They're doing great, South Korea. North Korea is known as the Hermit Kingdom and has been since 1953. It's called that because no one leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
Or goes in.
Yep.
We got to talk about our three cult leaders here. like with our guys we were talking about last time, the LFSD or whatever.
FLDS.
Yes, there we go.
That took so long.
It's okay. So we got to talk about the leaders who passed down from father to son.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with Kim Il-sung, who is sort of instated in power by the Chinese and the Russians after the Korean armistice, then went to his son Kim Jong-il, who died in 2011.
Yeah, I remember when that happened.
I do too. We were in high school. And now they are currently being ruled by Kim Jong-un.
They're being led. They are being gently led.
Forcibly. With love.
With, King George from Hamilton.
I will kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. Oh, man. Shout out to Hamilton.
That's actually such a good thing right now.
Yeah, at least we got Hamilton.
Pure and loving.
Kim Jong-un, to talk a little bit about him, he was 29 when he sort of ascended to be the leader.
Do you remember when he had gout and was, missing for,
everyone thought he was dead. Weeks?
I mean, my fingers were crossed. He has a wife and a child, doesn't he?
He does, but here's the thing. We don't know anything about them, and it is strongly suspected that his wife was forced to marry him.
Oh, I'm sure.
Kim Jong-un is actually not the oldest son in his family.
Is he not?
He's not. There's also a daughter, but as in many cults, they are very...
doesn't count.
They're very disrespectful to women. They don't consider them to be...
People.
More just like baby vessels. The only woman they celebrate in North Korea is the mother of Kim Jong-un.
Really?
Yeah, because she gave birth to Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un has an older brother. The older brother was sort of knocked...
He was like, fuck you, Dad, I'm gonna be a painter.
Not exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
The older brother was...
He abdicated to marry Wallace Simpson.
Will you please stop? He was... All of the children were kept under wraps. They were never seen by the public growing up.
Sure.
Because they were sort of priming which one was going to take over when Kim Jong-il died. And the oldest brother was found trying to sneak into a Disneyland in China.
Okay.
And that was very embarrassing for the family. And there were also reports that he is a homosexual.
Oh, dear. And two strikes and you're out.
So they were like, yeah, you don't get to be the leader. So...
Wait, who... What? Okay. How is that public knowledge, then?
It's not public knowledge. It comes from within the administration.
Who's speaking to someone outside
yes,
of North
there's,
Korea.
Yes, there's definitely people on the inside who are speaking to reporters outside of North Korea.
I wish we could have them on the podcast.
Be like, dude, what the hell is going on?
All right, so the 2013 estimate says there are currently 24, almost 25 million people living in the Hermit Kingdom.
As Stassi said, we have an estimate of the population because no one really knows what's going on in there.
So true.
There is this amazing book that I'm going to be talking a lot about by Suki Kim called Without You, There Is No Us.
So good.
Did you even read it?
Yep.
I lent it to you and you unconvincingly just lied to me.
It's on my bookshelf right there.
And she was a reporter who went undercover. She was born in Seoul, South Korea. She was raised in the United States and she went undercover teaching English at a university in Pyongyang, which is the capital of North Korea.
Yep. Pyongyang. Very fun to say.
I love saying Pyongyang. But she talks a lot about when she was there, she was able to watch CNN Asia, and she was one of the few people in the country who had access to CNN Asia, because everyone else's televisions are closed circuits within the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a talk, a woman was doing the weather, and she's like, oh, it was raining in North Korea 5 days ago, we'll need to wait another week to find out what the weather was like today.
That's so weird.
And it's sort of like a dark joke because everything they say and do is part of one massive propaganda machine.
Yeah. Our illustrious cult leaders, the Kim Jongs.
It's just the Kims.
The Kim Jongs.
You're being racist.
No, am I?
Yeah, no, the Jong-il is his first name.
Oh, shit. Okay, so the
Get
Kims.
Off my fucking keyboard, you stupid cat.
Baby, you have to... You can't stand on the laptop while we podcast.
You're going to pause it and no one will hear our delightful charm.
Our
is that
banter.
What you want?
Do want them to miss out on our banter? She looked at you so earnestly there.
Yeah, we're having a serious conversation, me and her.
I see that. The Kims, they control pretty much every aspect of everything in the world. And by that, I mean in the Hermit Kingdom. So, the Kim Jong... Fuck.
The Kims. It's just the Kims.
I
knew people in high school whose last name was Kim.
I know, just but think it's of that. Weird just because it's always it, well, cause in front of their name. So
in Korean, you say the family name first.
Which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Which makes sense, actually, because it's like general heading, then subheading is your first name.
Yeah, exactly. Cult of personality is when a figure sort of has every aspect of like art and media and propaganda and blah, 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 all like revering
around themselves.
Him. I'm going to say him because I don't know many women who have had cult of personalities.
No, maybe like Madonna in the 80s.
No, that's not the same thing.
It's a little bit the same
that
thing.
That is absolutely not the same thing.
Adding levity.
It's so inappropriate right now, Hallie.
Everything's inappropriate. We're all gonna die. Go move to the woods. Start a commune. Start your own cult. Be the cult leader you wish to see in the world. Anyone can do anything. An orange rapist is leading the country.
Can I talk about cult of personality, please?
He has a cult of personality.
He does.
Hashtag not my president.
Hell, you're killing me.
The cult of personality is basically these people are lifted up to godlike status within the country.
Yeah. The people in North Korea only know the Kims as, like, legitimately godlike figures.
There's a picture of the two leaders who are dead. It's just, like, these head portraits of them that every person has to have in their house. Yeah. Basically, people who have escaped North Korea and been exposed to Western and South Korean and just
other ideas. Are there many of
them? We don't know, honestly, because the North Korean government lies about it, and a lot of people escape through China to South Korea, and then they change their identity so they can't be found.
Sure, sure, sure.
Barbara Denwick wrote an amazing book about this called Ordinary Lives in North Korea.
Uh-huh.
And she interviewed a lot of defectors just about how their lives had been when they were growing up there. And so some do leave, but very, very few make it public that they have escaped because someone might come after them.
That makes sense.
When these people learn about other cultures, they learn, there's a guy who read 1984 by George Orwell, and he said it was basically just, like, what it was like for him growing up. These pictures are in everyone's house. Every house has a radio installed in it, which you cannot turn off.
Yes.
You can only turn it down, and it basically just plays propaganda all the time. Like, every song is about their great leaders.
Yeah.
Every news article is about how great their great leaders are, or how terrible Japan and America are.
I mean, same.
I mean, America did not prove them wrong this past Tuesday. Jesus Christ.
Circling back.
Yeah. In the mid-90s, because North Korea cut itself off from everybody, they wanted to be a communist socialist country. And that is still what they call themselves. And because of that, they didn't want to rely on anybody. They have this sort of tenet of philosophy in North Korea. I'm trying to see if I'm pronouncing this right. It's like Juche. It's spelled J-U-C-H-E.
Yes, and I was just reading about that.
It roughly translates into self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
So North Koreans consider it, like, the highest dishonor to accept help or aid from anybody. They're supposed to be able to do everything themselves, but it's very contradictory because the government gives them their houses and their jobs.
Why is this their motto?
It's so they
don't... So they don't get on the government's back?
Because of that, they have Juche. I'm going to keep saying this wrong. I'm sorry. They convince everyone you should do everything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Basically trying to take the heat off themselves. Like, why should we give you food or medical care? You should be able to figure this out yourself. Aren't you a North Korean? And this came in very badly in the mid-90s.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
There was a massive famine in North Korea. It's very famous. And as I said before, every number we get out of this country is suspect.
Is an estimate.
Experts believe somewhere between 600,000 and 2.5 million people died in between 95 and 97 of starvation.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Again, read Barbara Denwick's books. It is heartbreaking.
That's horrifying and fucking insane. And what?
And a lot of what happened is, as Americans, we always joke about seceding from the South, but we can't actually do that because that's where all our food grows. The whole reason our country can sort of provide food for our citizens is because we are such a vast and climatically different place.
Yeah.
North Korea is very, very small.
Yeah.
They do not have a lot of
diversity in their lands.
So they can't grow a lot of food. And when you can't import food from other places because you've sealed yourself off, there's no food. So millions of people died
Yeah.
Especially children, especially old people. The government didn't do anything.
Oh, I'm sure.
They were told all these, like, random stories that kept contradicting each other. Like, they were stockpiling all their food to give to the South Koreans because the South Koreans were starving and they were so merciful and things like that.
They hate each other, though.
They do. But that's the thing, is they would turn on a dime, like, we've always been at war with Oceania. Like, whatever they could do to make themselves seem great, the whole country is about their leaders, how great their leaders are, how great it is to not be a capitalist.
They think some crazy shit about their leader.
I don't know if anyone saw the movie The Interview.
Oh my lord, that was the worst movie ever.
Timothy Simons is in it, which is why I saw it.
Was he in it?
Yeah, just for like 10 minutes. He was like one of like James Franco's like TV people. But we can talk more about that in The Notable Craziness, but they talk a lot in that movie about all the insane, like, mythical stuff North Korean children are taught about their leaders that they then believe into adulthood.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing that happens, is they believe that their leaders can read their minds.
Don't they, like, control the sun or something?
Yes, they control the sun. They believe that when Kim Jong-un was born, a double rainbow appeared over the mountain. All the way
across the sky!
Yep.
Wait, which one's Kim Jong-un?
The youngest one, the current one, yeah. Okay. The interesting thing about Pyongyang is that they call it a showcase city. People who study North Korea, like Suki Kim and Barbara Demick.
And you.
And me, yeah, I guess. Because, one, it's often 99% of the time the only place foreign people are allowed to go when they get a visa to visit North Korea. And it is highly staged, and they sort of pick the best of the best. Like, during the 90s when there was mass starvation, they moved the most well-fed, the most healthy-looking people into the city. There was something in Ordinary Lives in North Korea where they talked about a boy was born with dwarfism, so his family had to move out of Pyongyang to one of the outlying territories because they didn't want that in the city. You have to be incredibly beautiful and tall and strong. Tall is a big thing there.
What's the average height for North Koreans?
5'6".
Is it really?
Yeah.
Isn't that how tall you are?
I'm 5'4".
Oh.
But no, that's the thing, too, is they prize being super tall. Like, that gets you very far in life. But
I'd be on fire over
there.
You would.
You're probably taller than most of them. But the whole thing is that because of the massive famine, everyone our age who was born in the 90s is super stunted.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that's been a problem for them.
Oy.
No one is getting as tall as they would like.
Oh, that's... Oh!
Marriage in North Korea, speaking of that, happens when a man is 30 and a woman is 27. I do not know why those ages were picked.
That's so bizarrely random. Wait, are they not even allowed to, like, pick who they marry? I guess not if their ages are already set in stone.
There's definitely some freedom the farther out you live from the capital, like, the farther out of view you are.
Sure, sure.
One of the women interviewed for, the book is actually called Nothing to Envy, Ordinary Lives in North Korea, so I'm gonna keep calling it Nothing to Envy. This woman in Nothing to Envy, her son, who was about 20, started dating this woman who was 25, and they lived in Chongqing, which is one of the northern cities. It's right by the border of China.
Sure.
And it was this huge scandal, and she didn't want to talk to him, and he was, like, bringing embarrassment to their family because you were not supposed to date a woman who's older than you.
I didn't realize it was, like, a societal thing.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's like a mark of shame.
Interesting. Damn. I feel ashamed now.
People are very innocent, too.
Naive
and innocent. In Nothing to Envy, they interviewed this woman. Her name was Miran. That's the name they gave her. That's not her real name. Who said she was a school teacher when she was 26, but she didn't know how babies were made.
Oh, dear.
Like, all they teach them is how to worship the Kims.
That's horrifying.
It's incredibly horrifying. There's some videos. If you ever watch The Propaganda Game, it's on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
It was a really interesting thing because this Spanish filmmaker went on, like, this, they do a standard tour when they let you into North Korea where they just show you, like, the really spruced up parts of Pyongyang and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they brought him into one of the Pyongyang kindergartens, and they had kids who were 4 or 5 years old, and they were playing guitar and dancing in perfect sync and singing this song praising their leader and how their leader was going to destroy the American capitalists.
Hey.
And one, terrifying to hear come out of a child's mouth.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And two, you look at all these, like, displays they do and that they show the foreigners that they're so proud of, where, like, these kids sing or play musical instruments or dance. These kids are in sync in a way little kids never are.
That's so creepy.
Like, we both did dance when we were very little. We have a VHS tape, so when I was 4 years old doing tap, some girl sat down in the middle of the stage. Someone else just started crying.
Same.
So it is just this quest to be perfect and to do your country proud and perfect. Do not fail no matter what is sort of ingrained into these children's heads.
Yeah, that's horrifying and stressful.
The whole day-to-day life there is just amazing to me. They pick where you go to college as well.
They pick what you study?
Often, because they like to claim that they are a classless society. They do have classes. They have three major classes, like upper, mid, or lower, but then it breaks into like 52 subclasses, which they claim don't exist. And certain classes are forbidden from like applying to certain universities or studying certain things or even sending their children to college.
Really?
Yes. And you take a test when you're about the age of a high schooler, you are in America. And they will tell you where you're going to school and what you're going to study.
I don't like that.
It's like a really extreme version of what they do in England, where, like, your A-levels tell you what schools you can get into.
Yeah.
But, like, you got no choice in the matter.
That sucks, man.
I'm trying to think of more interesting stuff to talk about just day-to-day life, because I could go on for hours.
Oh, I love it. This is how our podcast got started. I was dying of pneumonia in your backseat.
I thought you were drunk.
No. I was dying of pneumonia in the backseat of your car. And I'm like, and we were in Wegmans in the parking lot, and I was like, talk to me. And you were like, I'm going to tell you about North Korea.
I'm a little obsessed with North Korea. I've been banned from talking about North Korea in my home when I'm home from college because my parents just are not having it.
So just get it all out now, and then by next week we'll be fine.
So as I was saying before, the only way a lot of people get to see into North Korea is from the DMZ, or the Demilitarized Zone.
Yes.
You can approach it from South Korea. It's actually one of the biggest tourist attractions in South Korea.
I would imagine. I would go see that shit.
I would love to. That is on my list of places I would like to see someday.
You, me, 2K17.
Okay. You can actually look at it on Google Maps. It is tri freaky. It is these, like, barracks that are painted sky blue. And they have Korean military guards on one side facing the North Korean guards, and they stare at each other all day.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes they yell back and forth at each other.
Very militarized to be a demilitarized zone.
Like everything in North Korea, it's a contradiction.
Sure.
These people are told from birth you have to hate the other side, but they still sort of, like, develop this odd familiarity with each other because they just stare at each other across the line all day.
Yeah. Interesting.
There's a room you can go into if you plan ahead, because you can't just show up at the DMZ. You have to get, like, a special ticket and stuff.
Sounds like the DMV.
It does sound like the DMV!
I keep thinking that's what you're saying.
Equally bad.
Just as terrible and cult-like. Okay, continue.
And you can walk in, and they have these tables. Everything in this room is recorded.
Oh,
and
dear.
You can technically walk into North Korea, because if you walk to the other wall of the room, you're in North Korea, because the line goes straight through the middle of the room. People go there a lot for, like, diplomatic talks and stuff, which never get us anywhere. But
Who from North Korea would be allowed in that room?
Mostly the Kims. They have a lot of high-ranking military officers, too. Another thing that helps keep up the cult of personality is that you never hear them talk.
Oh, yeah, that's actually so accurate.
Like, if you think about it, when was the last time you saw one of them, like, give a speech or anything? I've never heard any of them talk. At the DMZ, I almost said DMV, you got me doing it.
I'm sorry.
In 1976, if you look it up, the DMZ, there is a section on Wikipedia called The Axe Murders.
Oh my god. Looking that up right now.
Two American soldiers were hacked to death with axes within the room I was just talking about.
The Axe Murder Incident. That is not an incident. That is a...
I mean, it is an incident. What else would you call it?
I don't know. Incident sounds so, like, light and fluffy. Like, that. Remember that one time that thing happened and we all laugh about it now?
They probably do in North Korea. Remember when we killed those two American soldiers by chopping them into pieces with axes?
August 18th, 1976. Some U.S. Army officers named Arthur Boniface and Mark Barrett had been part of a work party cutting down a poplar tree that partially blocked the view of UN observers, and they were hacked to death by some North Koreans.
For cutting a tree. These people are hardcore. What,
did they not have permission to cut the tree? I mean, the tree's still standing, apparently. Oh, no. The stump was replaced by a monument in 1987.
Which side was the tree on?
I don't know.
That's a very interesting, too, is the line in some places is very contested. Both sides have loudspeakers pointed at each other, just like they have the guards facing each other, and they are loudly blasting that country's music and, like, propaganda.
Yeah.
The North Koreans don't allow anyone to live too close because they don't want them hearing it. Yeah. They actually claim, fun fact, they have a city right, like, about 2 miles back, but they've had satellite images done, like the Americans and the Japanese, and it's a fake town.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's all hollow.
Oy.
It's very strange. Like, they have buttons inside that make things
fucking bizarre.
It's a cult.
It is a cult.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Next time, we'll talk about
the notable craziness.
We're going to have a lot of notable craziness.
There's even more left to discuss.
Than we already talked about.
I feel like the axe incident was, like, a great notable crazy teaser.
Yes, it's a primer. And any other cult would be like, man, can you believe that? But nope, it's just the beginning of this one.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Really is. So thank you guys for listening. Email us at cultsofourlives@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. If anyone listens on SoundCloud, we are no longer broadcasting on SoundCloud. We're doing
that's
it on Podbay.
That's the only place I listen to us.
Go on Podbay. It's an app on your phone.
I didn't know it's an app.
The little purple square.
Okay. Alrighty.
You're not the only person I know who doesn't know that, so I feel like I need to tell people this.
Okay.
And on a serious note, guys, keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
Be nice to each other, because dark days ahead, Harry. We love you. Stay safe.
Yeah.